everyone, and welcome to Play on K, the Korean drama podcast with Emily
and Raquel.
And this is the show where we take a K-drama, we watch it two episodes at a time, and then we get together here every week to talk about it.
Yeah, this week we watched episodes 7 and 8 of Gensung Creature.
Nailed it! We did! Did you start episode 7 and think, I clicked the wrong episode?
I thought I clicked the wrong episode. I was like, well, spoilers for future Raquel. And then I paused it and I was like, no, that's episode 7. And I was like, okay, well,
what's
all right.
Happening?
Why are we here? Should we have
And it
come?
Just keeps going. It's like 10 solid minutes of, I don't know what episode I'm watching. Did I do rad? Did I do wrong? Last I checked, they were trying to get out of the hospital.
Yeah, and I thought that's where we would pick up, and it feels rude not to, a little bit.
Because the first part, you can tell it's a dream. You can tell Chaeok is dreaming, because Taesung is the monster. He's the creature now. And she's, like, back in the underground cave thing. So it's like, I get it. That part's pretty clear. There is the question of, like, why is Chaeok sleeping when in the middle of our escape?
Yeah.
But we'll answer that later. Then the scenes just keep coming, and it's like, now it's real, but you still don't know what's going on. Then we get 16 hours.
Yeah, laying on a pile of bones, and then, we jump back. We finally jump back after we're like, is that foreshadowing? Which is something that is very interesting that they did try to do. They did try to do some kind of foreshadowing with, like, who's gonna be the person who drank the water, right? And now we're kind of jumping around. Classic Emily.
Let's do it.
But, we have, like, the foreshadowing of, like, who's going to be the creature. But the thing about it was that it never felt like foreshadowing because there was an obvious answer of who would be the most interesting, who would be the most troubling.
Who's the coolest?
Who's the coolest? Like, the answer was the same across the board. No matter who, like, no matter what lens you viewed it through, there was always going to be one person that drank that parasite off of the table that would be, that it was always going to be that person. That was the person that it narratively across the board made the most sense. And so I was never like, is he the creature? Because they kept trying to do that. They kept trying to foreshadow. Man, early on, we're doing video recording right now. My nose itches so bad. But early on, they tried to do, like, blood smear on the wall looks like a creature claw, and that's Taesung. And they tried to do, like, they did a bunch of stuff where they were like, yeah, her dream where Taesung was the creature. Not that she knew that there was someone else who had had the parasite. She was just having nightmares. But yeah, there was never a point in time when I thought it was going to be anyone except Myeongja.
I was like, yes, the coolest, the most interesting, like the saddest, the most traumatic person they could have chosen. But also, no offense to Myeongja, all the respect in the world, the dumbest of the four people who had gone into that office. Like, if you had to choose from the list who's going to drink a random glass of water that is in this underground lab in the most horrific place you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's going to be Myeongja. Like,
yeah, and she's the only one who hadn't seen the creature or knew about its existence. And she was the only one who didn't really know about the human experimentation for the most part, because it's like, it was inferred to her by a lot of people, including one of the women who was in the cell with her and was taken at the same time. And she saw Chaeok's mom be taken. Like, she could infer, but she's the only one who wasn't shown, like, human experimentation here.
That's fair.
It's happening. And so it's like, she did have the least amount of context also, but she also was kind of, She's a beautiful little sweet potato who's now a monster.
And I love that for her because it's a cool revenge arc for someone who would have never taken that into their own hands, never would have pursued her own revenge arc. So, like, it's cool that it's forced upon her, but also very, very sad. Obviously.
So sad. Yeah, especially because she doesn't know what's going on. And then there's also the layers of So, man, jumping around, what do we think about the fact that the monster is only specifically mutated with an injection? So she is a Gyeongsung creature. She's like a predator now, but she's a predator in the body of a person. And we thought that she would have mutated. I don't know. I wasn't really sure how to feel about that. That feels kind of convenient that all of a sudden they don't have to mutate. That was something they specifically did to Seishin. I don't know. Yeah, I was a little bit like, ugh. It makes it more interesting that no one could look at her and see that she is a monster unless they saw the blood smeared around her mouth and hands and down her neck and in her clothes.
You can see the trail of bodies, follow that to her house pretty easily, put two and two together. Yeah, besides all that, they would have never known. Like you said, it feels convenient, kind of also unnecessary, where I thought it would be fine to have a Gyeongsung creature escape and be out on the loose, be out on the streets. As far as the timeline, maybe that's the important part, is being like, she escaped something like 8 days before Taesung is back on his feet and back out in the world doing stuff. That's way too much time. We don't want a creature running around in the streets. This has to be a different thing. Yeah. So maybe it's just a timeline thing?
Yeah.
That makes me less mad.
It does. It makes me less mad to think about it as a timeline thing. It also, I don't know, like, it makes her a situationally scarier predator because kind of going back to that thing that, like, no one would look at her and know that she is about to kill them. Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see how it goes and if she continues to be like the Gyeongsung creature into the second part, or how they're going to play having the two, because obviously, like, that's a thing now. And one of them is not a threat to our main character, one of our main characters, but is a threat to pretty much every other person. And then the other one is not a threat to, like, I don't know. I assume that she probably wouldn't go after Ishikawa because she doesn't.
I want her to, but I don't think she will.
Yeah, she doesn't see that he's a despicable person. She sees the father of her child and the person who worked very hard to save her. She did seem to be. She had a level of recognition with her other savior, though, with Taesung, so. It's interesting. Yeah, they are all, like, all of the creatures are retaining some semblance of humanity.
And I feel like that's what they're going for more with Myeongja, is that she has that humanity, so she makes a much more pitiful creature, where she is not fully transformed into this hideous monster and everything about her previous life is lost. She is still a beautiful young woman, pregnant with a child, running from the police, not sure of her actions, even though she has killed like a dozen people.
Yeah. And she's very scared of dying. Yeah. She's very scared.
She knows what will happen if she gets caught, or at least she knows the worst possible outcome that could happen if she gets caught. So it's much more compelling that she's not just a full creature. I guess I'm talking myself into it. Like you said,
We both are.
It's just a matter of convenience for the show, but it is way more interesting as a plot line.
Yeah, it is. Like, I like it. It's just, yeah. It just felt surprising in light of what we knew of the creature and its and the previous creature's transformation stations. Speaking of which, crazy that she knew Maeda.
I love a good villain, so I really, really like Maeda as just a person, just a villain in this show. She's killing it, especially the fact that she's got a little crushy crush on Taesung and helped him escape.
Okay, yeah. So I didn't mind it. It just makes me so anxious that she's obviously going to go after Chaeok now. Fair. Because she has her name, she has the tie back to Seishin, It's making me so anxious. But I agree, because I think she is an excellent villain. One of my favorite conversations that we've seen in a K-drama in a very long time, like pieces of dialogue, was the conversation that she had with Taesung after he woke up in her house and she had nursed him back to health. And she was trying to get him to, like, admit, I don't know, it's like the conversation, and she wanted him to not sympathize with the Joseon people. Because she, in her mind, she obviously has, like, made him out to be different from them. He was born better, just like she was. Like, some of us are just born better. Don't you believe that? So you sympathize with them because they're Joseon? And I am so stoked with his answer in a way that, like, resonated so deeply with me, because it's, like, what my brain has been screaming at the screen the whole time. And it was that it has nothing to do with them being from Joseon and him being from Joseon. That's not it. It's that he's a human being, and he, like, is seeing the suffering of these other people, and that... the connection is not where they're from. The connection is their humanity. The connection is being human. And I loved that he said that to her face. I was so stoked, because I love a villain, but I love a moment where the, like, villain and the hero connect, and the hero gets almost like a shot in where it's like, this is why we will never be the same.
Ooh, that's fair. I think I took the scene more as his character arc, a very solid ending to where at the beginning he said he was just trying to survive for the sake of surviving. And now at the end we see him saying, there has to be a point to me being alive. And he has a brilliant conversation with Chaeok before she leaves, where he says, I'm surviving as a big FU to the Japanese army. But it's even more poignant when he talks to Maeda and says, I'm surviving because I'm a human being who has the capability to help so many people. And that's what my life's purpose is. I have found it. And it's like, oh, so proud of him. So I like that you got the connection of, like, the hero villain, because I purely saw the hero's arc and him coming into his own as the hero of the story.
Which is also very good. Here's a question that I'll pose to you. How did you feel about the implication that he was always the hero and was always just playing it off that he wasn't? Because, shoot, what is her name?
Nawol.
Nawol, Mrs. Nawol, had a conversation with a couple of people and was just like, yeah, when the what's his face?
The freedom fighter
asked about if this was the plan the whole time. And she implied that the plan has always been to pretend like nothing's going on while helping everyone that ever came to him. And it's one of those things where it's like, I go back and forth, because I think it's really powerful to have had him always very aware of his position of how and where he could help, and it wasn't going to be as a freedom fighter. It was going to be far more behind the scenes, like, even deeper, like, not even funding the freedom fighters, but funding, you know, like, the everyday people, however he could, the merchants and, you know, whatever networks he could establish, like, having those in place. So I do like that. I do think there is something more powerful, though, in him having grown over... It's been such a short period of time, but, like, for the potential for growth to have always been there because of his background, right? Like, of being a survivor. Like, the potential was there, but he needed something to open his eyes. He needed to see the suffering in a more firsthand kind of way that he hadn't seen since he was a child and he lost his mom, right? And he needed, like, kind of like the anchor and the strength of Chaeok to push him in the right direction, which I also liked. And I think that's probably more powerful, but I didn't hate that they implied that he was always there. I just didn't quite know how to feel about it. So now that I've talked for a million years about it, how do you feel about it?
I liked it because Miss Noel's answer was worded as vaguely and as cleverly as his character has always been. Like, he's always been a vague but clever man. And she called back on lines that were said in earlier episodes. So it felt reasonable. It felt nostalgic to hear, like, he's got his hands in everything, but it had a different take on it. But I do like that, yeah, she wasn't like, he's a good guy. He's always been the hero. He's been a man of the people forever. You just haven't noticed. She was very calculated in saying, I think he's a good person and that he, at the end of the day, will always do the right thing. But his actions speak louder than anyone's words. So I like that it was vague. And I think, to your point, it kept with that. It allowed for that hero's arc, that change in character, that growth, but didn't dismiss who he was at the beginning of the show and say, like, he was either a bad person or a good person. It was still very in the gray, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, I do like that he stays pretty firmly, like, he is just the person. He is a hero at this point. He absolutely is. He saved the people from the prison. And then he also saved the people, again, from the jail after several days of torture, which is rough. I couldn't watch that. I blocked out everything except the subtitles for that part.
Valid.
I can't watch a torture scene. A torture scene is too hard. And, like, I think that these couple of episodes were some of the toughest to watch because they, I'm trying to think, I had thought of, like, the wording I wanted to put it in earlier when I was watching the show, and now I can't remember exactly how I was going to say it, but it's like, we did watch throughout these episodes very little, like, they hurt a lot of characters that we actually had, like, sympathy for, and the victories, like, the bigger victories were, like, surrounding characters that maybe they were, like, okay, but we didn't have the same level of, like, sympathetic attachment to. I think a really good example being, I forgot his name. I feel like a terrible person. The soldier boy who was being forced into the Japanese army.
I think we only learned his name at the end.
Yeah.
Chae Young-kwon.
Yes, Chae Young-kwon. And just like the level of attachment we feel to him. And he's kind of the last of the survivors of the hospital that they're saving that we do have like a very sympathetic attachment to. Everyone else is like either a hero or that one Japanese politician soldier. Like, he is the last one that we had a real attachment to that, we would have wanted to see get out and be free, and he gets killed as a last stand, helping everyone else get out. And that's heartbreaking. And then we see, like, everyone get saved, but the repercussion is we see all the merchants get attacked and imprisoned.
And then tortured.
And so we, you know, it's like those people who worked so hard to free the people in the hospital, fully knowing it was dangerous. I don't want to take away from the fact that, like, they would have done it anyway, you know, even had they known. But it is, like, its own level of troubling when it's, like, the payoff of us seeing the people be freed from the hospital is that the people that we have more of an attachment to, like, we've seen more of, we've connected more with as viewers, are suffering the consequences for that freedom. And so it was like, this one was tough because the victories didn't feel quite like victories.
That's a good way to put it. Because obviously they are. I think they drive home so many times in this show that all human lives are equal. So to say, getting the people out of the hospital, freeing the prisoners, and going to prison for that. Like, anyone would say that's worth it. That was a worthwhile effort and a worthy thing to do. But like you said, as a viewer who is attached to certain characters, like the bartender, the lady who clearly went through it on her own, where, like, we see Mr. Gu getting tortured, and that is horrifying. You don't see her getting tortured, but it's pretty clear that she has been. And it's like, like you said, you just, I think there's that little terrible part of your brain that's like, is it worth it? And you know that it was to them, absolutely, and that they would do it again in a heartbeat, and that makes them better people in your mind, but it's still really hard to watch as it's happening. Yeah. And especially, I got so frustrated when they're sitting in the prison saying, we'll just gotta wait for Mr. Jung to get us out. Jung Tae-sung will come and save us any minute. And I was like, that's so unfair. He's dealing with so many things. He has so many people to take care of. Like, can somebody else do something?
Anyone.
Why does it always have to be him? Because you know the second that he gets out of the hospital, he has to go save a dozen more people, and that he's capable of it, so it's worthy, but it feels so unfair when you have the juxtaposition of them in prison and him crawling through the hospital trying to get out of this hellscape. You're like, don't put that on his shoulders. He's busy right now.
Yeah, he's bleeding out. He's just fighting for his own survival right now. And yeah, that was something I thought multiple times before he made contact with Maeda, is that he was faced for the first time, because he didn't know she was there, with the reality that he had no allies left inside of that hospital. And that, like, the thing, even when he was on his own previously, because they each spent time, like, independently running through the hospital, like, trying to figure out what to do next. But there was always, you know, the option of connecting with an ally. There was always someone that could help. Up until the moment that he watched all of his allies that he was aware of driving off in the same vehicle. And then it was like, okay, I have been shot in the gut. Like, 2 days ago, I got stabbed. We kind of forgot about it because this show has taken, like, it has been like 2 days. But if we've been, as viewers, watching it for so many hours that it feels like a week and a half, 2 weeks, five.
He's probably fine by now.
But it's like, yeah, he's been shot in the gut. He has pre-existing injuries. He fell many stories through a vent onto a pile of human bones. There's a monster somewhere in here that he found out is the mother of the woman he loves. No allies, though. That's not an ally. That's just, like, a problem. Yeah.
Probably another obstacle, reasonably.
Yeah. Haneda? What was that guy's name?
Haneda.
Immediately finds him. And why couldn't that dude have died, please?
I know! They don't even give us him being able, like, Tae-sung being able to kill Haneda was so perfect. I mean, Chaeyoung would have been, you know, the gold standard.
Next level.
But this is as good as we were gonna get. And they were like, no, he didn't die. He's okay. He was only shot 3 times.
Yeah, he's barely breathing, but he has enough in him to tell them to hunt Tae-sung down. So,
for what? Haneda, go home. Yeah, I'm mad just at you.
Go to the hospital and recover there for some undetermined amount of time and retire. Get out of here.
Oh, I hate that man.
Yeah, he's the worst. And he survived so far, so he obviously is going to be some level of villain. Man, they're just... And another character that we could feel vaguely sympathetic for was one of the ones that got attacked by the creature. Mori.
Yeah. Is that right? Oh my god, I wrote in my notes. I was like, don't take Maury from me. He was like the only one at the police station that was smiling.
He was like, yeah.
It took me a minute to be like, who the fuck is this guy? And then you figure it out, the driver.
Yeah.
That immediately gets attacked.
Immediately loses an eyeball.
Not
dude.
My boy.
Yeah, has definitely lost an eyeball. He won't probably be put on watch duty anytime soon. So. And it sucks too, because in my heart, I just felt like he was going to be the one to have a. He was going to come around. He was the one seeing people as humans, you know?
Yeah. He was one of the good. He was going to do something sneaky at the end and
yeah.
Help us out. Help the good team out. Can I bring up somebody else that is a good person that kind of got swept under the rug? I forgot about him. Juntake.
Yeah.
He's still a character.
He's still a character. I am very surprised he survived his time in the hospital. I really did think that he was a season one death. I thought he was a season one death.
Still could be.
Still could be. We've got two episodes. So far, he's not. But he's in really bad shape. And I felt really, really sympathetic for him last time after he gave up the names. I felt surprisingly sympathetic for him, mostly thanks to Noel, Mrs. Noel, who gave a really good speech and glimpse at a background of having given up information and regretting it deeply, but at, like her whole thing about forgetting that you're a human when you're being faced with torture. And I felt so sympathetic for him in the last episodes. And then in this episode, my sympathy for him diminished because I think that he experienced really terrible things, but we also had to watch like a torture scene with Mr. Goo. And I think that it's really tough because Juntake, I think, had more psychological torture done to him with like being heavily drugged with something we don't even know. We don't even know what he was given, but obviously it like, it like melted his system. Like he is not doing okay. And it happened like the psychological torture went as far as, you know, like he was heavily drugged and left in a room full of heads of other Koreans that like were in the resistance, you know, people who maybe he didn't know them, but like they died, you know, a terrible death in a terrible place. And like in the same room that he was in, and he didn't want to be part of a human experimentation. But it's really, really tough when we also watched a torture scene, right? Like we watched the physical torture of Mr. Goo, who may or may not have given up information because all we saw was him saying okay. So we don't know what he may have said or where that information is going to go. But something about that, like the juxtaposition made me feel less, it's really hard to articulate. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I can't articulate it. But I was like, I was sad for him, but not in the same way that I felt understanding of his position in the last episodes where I was like, it's been many days. And I think like, obviously you don't get over torture overnight, but they're like, it's just like the comparison with what he went through versus what other people went through. It's not the Pain Olympics, but it's harder me to like stand behind him right now, I think. Am I the worst? Am I the bad guy?
You're not the bad guy, but I can't say your feelings are valid. I think
that's fair.
I think at first glance, your feelings make sense because like you said, you watch a horrifying torture scene that is physical abuse, and it seems so much worse than the psychological abuse. And you have Juntake on the outside where you know that there is a possibility, at least. It's a long shot, but if he were okay, he could potentially stop the physical abuse. He could potentially help free all of the merchants and could have done that 3 or 4 days before Taesung did. So it's hard not to give him a little bit of blame and say, like, be better, do better. But I think it's one of these scenarios, one of the many scenarios that we just can't understand, that you and I, we got two small brains for. We will never understand torture or the psychological horrors of warfare and war times. And so it's easy for us to sit back and be like, I don't get it. Why can't they just be better?
The problem, I think. I get it. I think it was just like a, I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult to articulate because it was more a gut feeling based on how the information was being presented in these episodes. And I definitely, I don't want to be reductive of what he went through, and I definitely want to, like, acknowledge it. It's just, as a viewer, I still feel like they laid it out in a way that I feel like they want us to feel less sympathetic toward him. But maybe I'm just grasping at straws because I feel like a bad person.
I don't think you need to feel like a bad person, because I understand your feelings. I feel the same way. You've laid it out in a way that's easy to understand and empathize with. But I think we're wrong. I think we're wrong for feeling that way.
We're wrong.
You can't play the Pain Olympics.
And he's a good guy. And I think that his suffering is going to bring his dad into the...
He's got like, a good dad.
Yeah. And the story, I think he will become a more interesting character because of the suffering that his son is going through. I just don't know what direction he'll take it, because he's a good dad who's watching his son go through a terrible thing that was inflicted on him by the Japanese army, but also he got caught as a resistance fighter, and that is like how he ended up in the situation. So it's like, what direction as a parent is this particular father going to take it, right? Where is he going to be like, I have to double down on like my power, like here, to protect my son from, you know, like further torture in the future, and like, I guess, forsake any kind of resistance? Or is he going to, you know, like, is this going to be a turnaround for him where he's like, the Japanese army is the bad guy and we have to resist? Like, we have to resist. Look at what they've done to my son.
Because he's also made most of his fortune from the Japanese army, right?
Yeah, he's like a traitor because he
T-R-A-I-T-O-R or T-R-A-D-E-R?
I think both, probably. Okay. I meant T-R-A-I-T-O-R. Oh, I hate spelling out loud.
You nailed it.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, like that was like June Takes,
I hate my father's June Takes speech.
Yeah, his like rich boy, like daddy issue speech was that he resents that his family is contributing to the success of the Japanese army and that they're not doing more with their wealth. I think that like up to this point, his father has been what everyone else has viewed Tae-jun as. I did it again. I say Tae-jun, like Park Seo-joon, which is not his name.
No. Tae-sung. It didn't even register in my brain.
Yeah. It's the second episode that I've done that. It gets me every time. I don't know why I'm trying to rename him. Just mesh the actor's name.
I said it
name.
And I was like, June Take. She meant June Take. Mm-mm. So now it's even more confusing.
Yeah, I know. I'm really getting it all messed up. No, Jun Taek's dad has been what everyone else views Tae-sung as, right?
Okay.
Where it's like, he's just the guy who's like amassed power in the situation through wealth and gain of the Japanese army being here, or whatever the case may be. But like, the flip side is that we now have implication that Tae-sung wasn't always that guy. Like, he's kind of been putting out his feelers to like change things where he could, in small ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see what you're saying. I'm ready for, like, a little bit of a break. Like, a tiny, tiny little shot-sized break.
Ooh, Let's do a little shot size break. Like this size?
Like that big. Like a tiny little shot.
Yeah, let's talk about Magic Mind, which I have been using and really, really loving. I feel the difference. And something that I noticed today, because I took it today, I will forget to drink my coffee in the morning or something, and I know that a headache is coming. But I get anxious to drink my coffee if it's too late in the day, because sleep is really important. And I think that it's really, really cool having something that helps me get energy and feels really good to take and is full of vitamins and helps me focus without having that drawback of being like, if I drink it right now at like 3 p.m., I'll be up all night. Because that's not the case. It's not like a caffeine energy, though you can, you know, take it with caffeine to make the caffeine, like, that focus and energy, you know, like, go longer, supplement that. But it's not going to, like, have the same impact of like, and now you'll be up all night because you took it later in the day. And I was really grateful to still be able to take it a little bit later in the afternoon.
That's so nice. That is a benefit that I didn't think about, but you're so right. It's impossible to take caffeine late in the afternoon, but once you're addicted, your body's like, hey, I will ruin us if you don't do something about this.
We must have caffeine.
We must have caffeine. That's cool that there's something else out there that can keep the headache away, but won't keep you up all night. But that's Magic Mind for you. It's pretty dang cool. If you want to try Magic Mind, get on it. MagicMind.com/PlayOnK. Use our code PlayOnK at checkout so that they know that we sent you. And then, of course, let us know what you think, if you like it.
Yeah, I really do want to know. I want to know if anyone else has tried it. So hit us up.
Okay, let's get back to the darkness. Everything is sad and I'm sad.
Everything's sad and I'm sad. Except it... Okay. We could talk about how there was some actual, like, fairly solid romance in these episodes.
It's like you said earlier with you get the prisoners out of the hospital and you're so stoked, but then every merchant that you've ever loved goes to prison and gets tortured. Kind of feels like that, where you're like, romance, we love to see it. I'm so glad it's finally happening. And then Lady Maya does in the background, like, I'm not happy at all. And you're like, hey, what are you doing here, ma'am?
I wanted to be a part of that without her here.
I didn't know that. And now that I see how powerful you are, this knowledge makes me scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very anxious.
Why can't we have nice things?
Yeah. Oh, it's just gonna get so messy before it gets better, if it ever gets better at all. And I'm really hoping it does. This is a dangerous kind of show because I think I like it so much because there are hopeful tones to it and there's like good people and you feel like maybe things will turn out okay every once in a while, even though there are extremely dark parts as well. But it's stuff like that which makes me feel like maybe things won't be okay.
Oh, it's so true. And that's why I'm excited for the romance. You brought it up. Like, it's a great thing. It brings more hope. It's something that we look for in almost every drama. But also, I couldn't feel true happiness. Not even for a second.
Yeah. They held each other for a minute, and I was like, that's sweet. And then there was a moment of him trying to hold her hand, and that was really cute and funny. And then immediately it was followed up with Akiko just running through the streets, covered in blood from the brains that she had consumed.
Oh, I was not conflicted at all with Chaeok going, I'm gonna go get her. I'm gonna go save her. And Taesung being like, seems like a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Like, objectively, I love Myeongja. She seems great. Yeah. She's a cool character. And
I never wanted this for her, but... No.
This is really sad for her. It's also cool for her. Again, a revenge arc she never wanted or would have chosen. But all in all, she is a monster. And you need to not have her on the streets. She has killed a dozen people. Do not be like, we'll just put her in the basement. We'll just put her up in a hotel somewhere.
Right?
We will not.
I think Chaeok's reasoning was extremely solid. Like, if we're peeking behind the curtain of, like, where she's at with it, if she said those words to me, knowing her current position, mm-hmm. I would be like, I guess we're running into the dark woods with the 1 million Japanese soldiers to try and find this predator monster that's eating brains. Because you're right. Like, if they catch her, it's not going to be better for anyone, but especially her.
Yeah. I know who your mom is. I'm not going to come at you with a moral argument right now. You are all emotions, yeah. And I see that. And I get it. But also, what do you do when you catch her?
Yeah. Are you going to reason with her? Because
maybe. I mean, maybe that'll work for 20 minutes.
Yeah. But if the parasite takes over again, then you've got a predator on your hands. And it will be coming for your brains. She does not care.
She does not care. She is not Myung-ja anymore in those moments. It's so conflicting. Because, yeah, you obviously don't want the Japanese army to get her again. But I don't really want this to become Taesung and Chaeok's problem. That's so mean right? to say.
But it feels so real because it's like, I don't want it to become their problem. And also, you complicate things infinitely when you think about the fact that she's pregnant. Like, infinitely. There is so much there where it's like, not only is she their problem, but their knowledge that, like, she's carrying an infant becomes their problem. And the implications of what the Japanese army will do experimentation-wise to not only her, but her baby, because she's now a predator carrying a child, and we don't even know what that means. Nutritionally, I cannot imagine brains are what a baby needs, but like, who knows?
We've never tried
feeding brains as prenatal supplements.
So we'll see, I guess. Through this show, we will find out. But yeah, it's just, again, I think I'm thinking of it too rationally, of like, okay, you're gonna lock her in a room. She's going to bust out the window the next night, go kill a bunch more people. You're going to just lock her in a different room? Like,
true.
How many people does she get to kill? And do you get to decide how much you care before, like, she actually needs to be locked up somewhere? Because, on one hand, she is Myung-ja. She needs to be protected from experimentation. But on the other hand, she is a monster who will kill indiscriminately. So it's like, maybe if she kills some peasant, you'll be like, ooh, we should check the doors better. But if she kills Mrs. Nawol, will you then be like, shouldn't have kept her? Do we turn her in? Like, I know they wouldn't, but it'd be a valid thought to cross your mind.
Yeah, it would. And then it's like, are you gonna try and cure her? And to what end?
How?
Like, yeah, because it's like, you don't have the resources to do that.
You're going
to
get Lieutenant Kato involved? Bring him back? Be like,
Jeez Louise.
We have something you'd enjoy, but we need your help with it. Don't be sketchy about it, okay? You can't do freaky experiments. We just need a fix. Like, what do you have over him? Nothing.
Nothing. That dude is psychotic. He created this problem in the first place.
Yeah, he's the worst, and apparently Lady Maeda is, like, in on it. We touched on it. I don't need to bring it back up. It's just wild that she knew Seishin-sensei, and
like, keep her name out of your mouth.
Because what? She was like, this is the lady I asked you to take care of all those years ago. I'm sorry, what? You got her locked up in here?
And you didn't keep tabs to, like, what do you mean take care of?
What do you mean? Lock her up? She's yours?
Tell me. Because that's not what they did. They didn't just lock her up. But you don't seem bugged.
At all. They did a bad job if taking care of her was, unless you mean, like, take care of her. In which case, they also did a bad job. She's not dead. Those are the two meanings behind take care of. I don't. Maeda?
And it's like, please. Yeah, Yeah, it's stressful. It's so stressful. So yeah, I don't know what the game plan is for anyone or how they're going to do anything. And yeah.
And that's where we're at. We're going into the finale. Okay, one note.
There's going to be
Wait, you go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to talk about how stressed I am that there's going to be a second part to this, these shenanigans.
But there has to be at this point. Like, we have not touched on the painter or the janitor. Those guys got to come back. Haneda.
Are they, though? I almost wish that they could just get out, right? Can they just go? But we know that if anyone's going to tell the janitor that his brother is dead, it's going to have to be Juntake. So if Juntake makes it out of his current emotional state and onto the other side, then definitely the janitor is coming back so that we can re-inflict pain on Juntake, I assume.
Poor man. That poor man.
Yeah, and the artist, he's just gone.
Where? They're just living there in the hospital while all of the guards run around all the time, checking every room.
He served his purpose. So, for everyone. So, I do genuinely feel like his part in this story is over. Like, he was the way they got into the hospital, and he was the connection that we knew about her mom, and that he has served his purpose. And in a way, for his sake, I hope he's gone. I hope he's gone. But, like, I don't know, maybe they'll bring him back and make us love him and then kill him.
They would. I do feel like the notes that homeboy Ichiro, maybe is his name, he handed Lady Maeda the notes on the creature. Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5 of those pages were just art, which I was just like, art. That's not on you. That's not your research, sir. Yeah. Credit where credit is due. I think they're keeping the artist around.
Yeah.
So he'll be back, probably. Sashimoto, is that his name?
Yes, that is.
Got it. Eventually. It was in there. It was deep, but it's in there. Okay, the thing I was going to say, I read my notes, and I was like, it took 4 full days for Chaeok to tell her dad that her mom was in the hospital.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
That's not okay.
That was such a long time.
And she acted like she wasn't even going to bring it up. It was like a casual, oh, I should have stayed for mom. And he's like, what are you talking mom? About? You didn't tell him?
Your mom?
You didn't tell him the woman you both have been looking for 10 years, the love of his life, was in the hospital for 4 days? While you just...
That wasn't the first thing that you said to him?
You went to the House of Treasures or whatever it's called every day and just sat there for hours.
But you couldn't sit down with him for like... And here's the thing. I'm not 100% sure it was a good idea we told him. At least not right now. Because I'm a little bit worried about his current emotional state. I am sincere. Like, it feels like he's ready to do something very, very rash.
That's fair.
Just because right now he's in mourning. He's like sitting alone in a room and we just get beautiful flashbacks to them being the world's cutest family. And I'm just very stressed that he's going to like leave Chaeok alone.
It's so hard because it's like Myeongja becoming the monster where I'm like, I don't want it for him. I know that it's his path to a swift death. Is whatever he chooses to pursue, like going back to get his wife or find her, confront her. Like anything to do with his wife is a quick path to dying in this show. But also the romantic in me is like, his daughter's going to be okay. She's a grown woman. She now has maybe a healthy relationship, I think. She's going to be hunted, but he doesn't know that. All he could
healthy
see-
between the two of them, totally fine. Two of them, outside great. Of them. Very fatal
there
relationship.
There's a third party that is getting involved. But what Papa
sees... Insanely
can see,
dangerous.
Papa sees a healthy relationship. He's like, my daughter is grown. I'm just a hopeless romantic to the extent that the love of his life has been found. after 10 years, he's like, she is what I've been living for. And now that I know my daughter will be okay, I'm going to go get my wife, even if she's a spooky monster. Like, especially psychotic, but especially if Chaeok told him about the moment that she had with her mother, where there was like some recognition, some protection.
She knew it was unhinged. Me,
Dad. Unhinged. Like, I'm going to go get her. Like, I fully support that. I love it.
Oh, man. So the dad has always felt like a character that was probably going to die. If we're crunching the numbers like I always do in a horror where I'm like, okay, who are they setting up to have emotional impact but narrative reason to die? Dad is at the top of the list. He's up there. He's up there with Juntae. Mm-hmm. He is way up there. In fact, he probably tops Juntae as far as like the emotional impact that they will have established for his death, but also the fact that he does not have like main like top two primary character main character armor. So it's like he's very likely going to die. In fact, let's put money down. Sorry, I'm like really drilling this home because I need to like emotionally prepare myself as well, right? So I'm like trying hard to come to terms with the fact that, like, obviously one way or another he is going to die. There's like no way around it. If I had to put down how we want this to go, right, like if they're like, okay, he's gonna die, he simply has to, how do you want this to go down, Raquel? Like, what way would feel good to you and satisfying as a way for like one of the best characters to go? And I think where I'm at with it has to be saving not his wife, but his daughter. Like, Maeda gets a hold of her, right? And it's like, she's going to become the next creature or something. She's going to be used somehow in this really nefarious, disturbing plot. And he's like, okay, well, you already took my wife from me and made her into this, so absolutely not. Let's go. We're bombing the place to the ground. As soon as she gets out, we're bombing the place to the ground. Like, I think he's going to be endgame for the creature, but I think I would find it more emotionally satisfying if he said, like, I couldn't save my wife, but I will save my daughter. Like, I think that would be a big thing for me, personally. Okay. So if I get to say how it goes down, which no one asked me, but
I would not put money on my guess, but I think right below that, in terms of emotionally satisfying endings, I would put him saving Myeongja, where it doesn't really make sense in my head. But I do think, similar to being able to see Chaeok's emotional connection and her need to save this woman, both from just like generally being experimented on, but also from being turned into the same thing that she saw her mom turned into, they could write that in. They could make a story where the dad does the same thing. Again, he's like, I've come to terms with losing my wife. That sucks. That's an L. But I'm going to save this other woman before the exact same thing happens to her, because I can see it happening. And I won't let it happen to anyone else. It is much more, like, valiant than I expect from him. Much more just a generalist hero, where I think it's more emotionally compelling for him to save his daughter. But, again, there's that connection of, like, in memory of my wife, who became the first Kyungsung creature, I will save this other young woman, because that's the right thing to do. And he'll go down trying.
And that's how he'll die, somehow.
We'll see. Next episodes, baby!
Last of the season, and then we have to wait for a season two, and I don't know how we'll do that. I don't know how emotionally we'll get there, but we have to. We don't have another choice.
I'll Google it. Maybe it's coming out in April. I mean, I haven't looked it up. I've genuinely no idea when season two is coming out.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll find out before next week so that we can tell you guys
Yeah, for the finale, so that we can all sit in either comfort or discomfort, whatever the answer may be.
Yay! Just like every week with this show.
Just like every week with this show. So if you know when the next season is going to come out, and you want to be the person to tell us instead of waiting for us to tell you next week, then email us at playonkpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find all of our episodes up on playonk.com. There's also a button to our Patreon. You can find all of our affiliates, like Soulbox is a super fun one that I might get on because I need some Korean snacks.
Oh, it's so fun. Soulbox is so fun.
And of course, you can sign up for our newsletter so you never miss when we start a new drama.
Yeah, we also have our Patreon where you can find it at patreon.com/playonk.
You can find us on Instagram at playonk podcast, on X, previously Twitter, at playonk, and on TikTok at playonk_Emily.
Yes, and then the absolutely freest way to help out the podcast is to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you find us, but very especially Apple Podcasts is really good for helping other K-drama podcast listeners find us.
And of course, don't forget to check out our sponsor, Magic Mind, at magicmind.com/playonk.
Yeah, and that's just about it. So we'll see you guys next week for the finale of Gyeongseong Creature.
K-bye.
K-bye.
Bye-bye.